call from mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you. Gentlemen and guns coming.
Good job, Isla. Good job. I'm very proud of you. She has been killing it today. Hey, guys, brand new podcast. At the end of it, my wife Leanne is here. She's not speaking into the mic. She's not a professional. She is going to, her and I are going to do those incinerating toilets.
She
suck,
and I.
By the way. We're going to do a Black Sails recap. The finale was last week. Today's podcast, very quickly, before I get into details, I want to make sure you know that my buddy Steve Byrne and Gary Cannon, both my friends, came and did this podcast. Steve Byrne has a Showtime special airing this Friday. It'll be on Showtime all month. You'll catch it nonstop all month. It's called Tell the Damn Joke. It airs at 9 p.m. this Friday on Showtime. I've known Steve for almost as long as I've been doing stand-up. He is one of my close friends. We have a great conversation. I want to make sure that you know is to watch his special, to DVR it, and those little steps you take to just share a tweet or share something on Facebook or take the minute to repost his bits from that he posts on Instagram, they really mean a great deal. They really genuinely do. A share is better than a view these days. Tell the Damn Joke this Friday on Showtime at 9 p.m., Steve Byrne, Gary Cannon. Real quick, I want to talk today about my sponsor. I got this sponsor, and at first, I thought, I don't want to mess around with a sponsor that doesn't apply to me. And then I realized how I'm going to make today's sponsor, ZipRecruiter, apply to me. Are you hiring? You know, it's so funny. I've been one to hire for a long time. I've been looking for a production assistant to work with me for a long time. Do you know where to post these jobs to find the best candidate? Honestly, I don't. I had no fucking idea. I just said it out loud on my podcast. Posting your jobs in one place isn't enough to find the qualifying candidate. No shit. I've been saying it out loud on the podcast. I get it. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. That's what I'm looking for. Just one post and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. I will be using ZipRecruiter to look for this production assistant who you will hear on this podcast. They will be hired through ZipRecruiter. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses.
Are you sure it's Fortune 100?
Yeah.
It's not Fortune 500?
No, it's Fortune 100.
Oh, sorry. I've never heard of Fortune 100.
Yeah, well, it's the top 100. Who cares about the bottom 400? And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/BurtCast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BurtCast. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/BurtCast and see if you can beat me there, because I will be posting tonight to ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/BurtCast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BurtCast to look for someone to help me with my podcast and all the production stuff I'm doing. Why am I doing it? Honestly, this is the one part that sold me. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about this forever on this podcast. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can do it for free. Go to /BurtCast. I hope that was stylized enough. Now I got to go to ZipRecruiter, Leanne.
I know. Very exciting.
I should have said my tour dates first. Real quick, tour dates are all selling out very quickly. I will. Denver is, I think.
Sold out.
I think Denver sold out, and that's in August. So, but we're going to add another show.
It's in August?
It's in August.
And it's already sold out?
Yeah.
Holy cow. And I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so, I think there's like 8 tickets left, and then we're going to add another show. We haven't added it yet. So if you're still in Denver, you can go run and get tickets. I think they just called today. Detroit is also sold out.
Detroit is sold out too?
Yeah, Detroit's sold out. Don't act so surprised.
Why?
I'm supposed to be a big shot.
Yeah, but I can't keep up with it.
Wise Guys, Salt Lake City, Thursday is definitely not sold out. I'm going to be at Wise Guys the 13th, 14th, and 15th of April. Stand up live in Huntsville, Alabama. Get your tickets now. That will sell out, as will the Wild West Comedy Festival, the 21st, 22nd, and I thought the 23rd, but it's not on my calendar. Maybe it's just the 21st and 22nd. Oh, that would be nice. I'm doing a Call in Sick to Work show. Listen, I'm going to be doing a live Call in Sick to Work show podcast. I'm going to change the format of it this time and see if it can be more fun. I kind of want to tell you who my guests are because I think you're going to get really excited because it's going to be fucking awesome. I may have 3 guests. I may have a guy who's been disappeared in Asia for a while on the podcast. I can't say his name. But
he's going to be reappeared?
But he's going to be reappeared from Asia, hopefully that weekend. I don't know. And then 2 other comics. Fuck it. Nate Bargatze and Sean Patton. I'm so excited. Sean, if you haven't, they're both hilarious comics. And we're just going to do a live party podcast, I think Thursday morning at like noon or 1 o'clock, I think. And we will be drinking, and it's going to get fun, and it's going to get crazy. And we're going to be doing it for something bigger, but I'm going to release it on this podcast. So, should be fun. Hopefully, I can do more of those and make those Call in Sick to Work shows live events like that. Yuck Yucks Canada in Calgary, the 27th, 28th, 29th. Detroit, sold out. Cincinnati's getting close to sold out, so get your tickets at Liberty Township. I'm only there 2 nights, 4 shows. Crapshoot Comedy Festival in Vegas on the 19th, and Bisbee. I love just saying this. Bisbee sold out in record fucking time. I swear to God, Chaley posted it. It's me and Stanhope doing a swap cast. Chaley posted it, and no sooner did he post it that it sold out. That is more a testament of Doug Stanhope and not me. I can promise you that. That and the fact that it's like a 25-seat theater. So... All right. Today's podcast, I've already announced it, but I will say it one more time if you're still listening to this long-winded intro. At 7 minutes, I've done worse. Both of these guys I know very well. I've worked with Gary a bunch. Gary was the warm-up guy for Steve, and Gary and Steve have a podcast called Gentleman's Dojo. Steve, I've known since we were in New York. We toured together on Jameson's Comedy. He has also had a show called Sullivan Sons on TBS for 3 years, and I think that was what I was most fascinated to talk to him about, because he dealt with its success and its cancellation and then rebounded and now has a Showtime special that airs Friday at 9 p.m. Enough of the ads, Bert. Guys, let's listen to the podcast. My guests, Gary Cannon and Steve Byrne. This is Hello. That one's hot. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Perfect. This one's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. You right there?
Check.
You're a little
hot.
Chick,
good. Coming in hot.
Okay. I think we're all sound good.
Okay.
6, 6.
Check. Yeah. Check.
Guys, welcome to my dojo.
Wow, you don't waste any time getting this thing started. Jumps right in.
This place is awesome.
Love
by
the intro music. Oh,
thank you. Yeah,
this isn't like a man. This is more a study.
This thing's fun. I love this fucking room.
It's gorgeous.
What was this originally? This room.
It was a woodworking shop. So the garage is next to us, and there was a door. There was a door going out that way. This was all closed off, and there was a door connecting it to the garage. And then they closed off that door and then opened this up. I mean, I'll put it in perspective. When we got this house, we had looked at buying doors like that. I couldn't afford those doors.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was like, I'll get some French doors. And I was like, oh, I can't afford those doors now.
Yeah.
And so I was like, they spent like $186,000 on this room.
Sorry?
Yep.
Wow.
Is this the cave the Funny Bone built?
No.
Would you consider?
I didn't spend that money. We didn't. So normally they make you you have to like do all the demo. You've got to raise the foundation and get all the. You've got to get it up to specs and get it all the. That's how they do these cooking shows or these food, the building shows. Is you do all the shit and then they come in and put the finishing touches on.
Oh, okay.
And so they're only there for 3 days, but they came. Because a little, I don't know if this is gossip, but Adam Richman from Man vs. Food was supposed to get one.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't work out. It was super complicated.
Did he call them cunts?
No. No, it was like they just...
You're thinking the other Adam Richman.
Oh. Is he still
sorry, did he? Yeah. Did he molest them?
I get a little frisky sometimes. What are you going to do, huh? I mean, come on. You know what's so crazy, though? I knew a bunch of comics that used to take their dicks out and just start jerking off
Let me just say this. I know Adam. I'm friends with him. I side with him. I really don't. I mean, because the story that he tells, but I'm making the joke, but I like Adam, so that's why I'm making
I've known
joke.
Adam for. I think he's a great dude. I don't know. It just it seems like it's one of those
he got a little railroaded
situations where it could be skewed.
I think if he had really done something bad, he would have never said what he said to the cops. Like, I got a little frisky. Like, what do you care?
Yeah.
Like, if shit happens. Like, when I get drunk, I get a little crazy.
The server invited him back.
No one says that. If you really rape someone, you don't go, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the deal. The server invited him back after the show. So, I mean, that's, you know, kind of what was interesting about the whole thing.
Yeah. But, and it stinks that the word rape just doesn't have, there's not like a rape light, you know? Like, there's not, it's just rape. And then you're like, oh, fucking rape, huh?
Right, there's Well, did you hear the stuff that came out about Bill O'Reilly today and all that shit about what he was saying to these women? I mean,
no.
It's pretty crazy about, you know, all this, these sexual harassment suits. I was hoping you would know because I don't know the full story. I was trying to look smart by saying.
But they paid $13 million to cover up.
Yeah, lawsuits.
Pay out lawsuits.
But wow. They have these messages, these dialogue messages between him and these women about, you know, you're going to meet me at the hotel. You're going to get in the shower while I order room service. Then I'm going to come in and you're going to have your back turned towards me. And it's just like, I shut it off then because I came. But, you know, I don't remember the specifics.
I bet his whole house is just French doors. You can afford it.
So this was paid for by the show.
Yeah, so Adam Richman, not the
comic.
Not the comic. But you get derailed every time I talk and bring up Adam Richman. Adam Richman didn't get one. He was supposed to get one. So they had money for two of us.
Oh, wow.
And then his didn't come through. It was really difficult. It was in Brooklyn. He didn't necessarily have a place for a man cave. It would have been like a renovation. And then they were going to build him a trailer. It was like all these different things. And then at the end, they were like, fuck it. Let's just give it all to Bert.
Oh, wow.
And so that's awesome. For both of the shows, I got all the stuff they would have done.
Oh, wow.
Hence the two TVs, the wine refrigerator and the kegerator. If you notice, there's almost doubles of everything in here.
Yeah, what the... Yeah.
It's
do you need two TVs in here?
No. not at all. To be honest with you, I'll tell you the odd thing is I can't take naps in here.
Yeah.
I've never been able to sleep in here. That's what stinks.
It's my specialty.
And you can't jack off in here because you have big windows.
Well, I could take a nap in here. The minute I walked in here, I saw Comfortably Dumb, and I was like, oh, time to take a nap.
Wait a minute. The reason why we're here is to promote Steve's special on Friday. So come Friday, you'll be able to take a nap.
On Showtime.
Yeah. The fuck up. There's where your nap comes in, Bert. Guaranteed. Test this room on Friday night. Yeah. We need one viewer.
What did you name your special?
Tell the Damn Joke.
Tell the Damn Joke.
It's a callback to what Jess says, my wife, when I asked her permission to do a joke about her ass, which is a little big.
Bigger.
But yeah. Yeah, that's what I called it. So,
do you do the joke about? There's a joke that you were working on a long time ago, and I'm assuming it's got to be in the special that I think of. Honestly, probably once a week, and that is how many fucking movies are going to make about the Holocaust?
Oh, that was in my second hour.
Yeah,
that was in Burn Identity. But yeah,
I want to go pitch a movie called The Titanic.
Yeah,
and go but from two other people's perspective.
Yeah.
I thought it's instead of him calling it Tell the Damn Joke, he should have been calling it Tell a Damn Joke.
Tell a Damn Joke.
There we go.
Are we live?
Are these things on?
Are we live? Is my Twitter feed blowing up right now?
What?
What? I'm good. I don't need any M&Ms.
Did you? Did
you, want M&M's grape cheese? Holy shit! You know,
no, that's why I saw them.
I have so many fucking. Yeah, that's the girls. The girls can get away with putting candy in here, and it doesn't. And they're just like, they're like, it's Dad's man cave. There's candy in there, and then they just come back. Isla's the one. She's got a fucking real problem. She's got all my my low reward standards.
She's like you, but with booze.
Yeah, she's the way I am with booze. I was on a. We were in a. This is a. Probably, I can tell you when this was. Isla had just been born. This was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Steve and I were doing the Jameson tour.
Okay.
And we were in Seattle.
He went through a case in 2 weeks, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, but Gardell and I were like fascinated. We were blown away that, so before you go on this tour, this is the first time, I think it was like the first time we're all gone.
Yeah.
So Jameson sends you a case of Jameson.
Oh, wow.
And 2 weeks later, we go on tour. And so we're all at the first gig, and Bert's like, yeah, I already finished mine. You guys? I'm like, I haven't even opened it.
I drank a bottle the first night.
It was fucking, I was like, how did you go through a case in 2 weeks, dude?
We did that first date together. It was in Seattle at that Laughs place where I think the guy was a Christian.
Yeah.
And and he was like, yeah, no dirty jokes. And my opening joke was, Jameson tastes so good, if cock tastes like Jameson, I'd have bruised knees. and Alan fucking freaked out. Alan went off the rails.
Oh my god, that's right. Alan, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fucking really fun tour. Do you remember what the time we found out that girl fucked Penn and Teller?
Yeah. Yeah.
she banged both of them?
No, she banged one of them, but Nick Griffin, who did not speak at all. Like,
He was like Teller.
Yeah.
He was the Teller of the group.
He was like the Teller of our group, yeah.
He found out that she had fucked with a big one, whichever one that is.
Penn Jillette.
And he lost his fucking mind. You sucked his dick. He ate your pussy. Like, it was the funniest. That was the funnest. That was a really fun tour. You seem to have always done that, like had made touring enjoyable. Are you guys touring now, right now?
We tour together quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to lock down like a guy that tours with me.
Yeah.
Or even like that's what Rogan was saying. He's like, oh, you got to tour with someone. It makes it so much more fun.
But I think for anybody that's going to open for you, it's tough to keep up with you. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not making this up. I've had so many conversations the last few weeks. I worked with Brad Williams last weekend in Cleveland. And just so many people. Your name has come up. And we're all like fascinated. It's just like we don't know how you do it, like with like the consumption of alcohol, but then to put on a great show and not like when I slur, I'm done. I'm just like I'm done. But it seems like that never happens to you. Is that true?
Yeah,
'cause I've never seen you slur, and I've been out with you on nights where you're just like. You are fucking on fire, and you keep it going, and there's nobody more fun to hang out with. And I'm just like, I think back on all those times we went on jam. I'm like, was there ever a breaking point? Because you never slurred. It was like, it was crazy.
Well,
I think I
don't look as drunk. I don't act as drunk as I am.
Yeah.
And I think once I get drunk, I just go to bed. But I don't really get that. I might get pretty fucking hammered. I remember you and I were the... We started doing those contests after the show.
Oh, God. In Minnesota, he like bar games.
Yeah.
He would just get Bert, you know, he invites the whole crowd to the bar afterwards.
I mean, this is probably exactly what my therapist would say, a direct effect of my low self-esteem. I knew that my bar bills were through the roof, that the people who were coming to my shows were drinking like fucking lunatics. And Tony Baldino one time said to me, you know, nothing for nothing, if you bring him out to the bar tonight and you can keep him here until 2 a.m, I'll give you your bonus. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, you'll make me an extra $3,000 in bar sales I wouldn't have had.
Wow.
And so I was like, done. So I, and then.
Keeping them at the improv bar.
Yeah, keep them at the improv bar. Don't let them go out. Let them keep those drinks. So I started doing that then. Then when we went to Minneapolis one time, me and Steve. Well, no, we were in Chicago again. We were in Chicago. And I said, let's do a game. We did, it was Beat Bert. We had to – the video's online. Steve shot it and hosted it, and I said made everyone hold pints like in a crucifix position.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And see how who can hold them up the longest. What they didn't know was that that was the only exercise I ever did. Was sidearm raises on my for shoulders. And
but
so,
you are deceivingly athletic.
Yes.
Because you are I've been golfing with you. Yeah. We used to play home run derby. Our thing was we used to go
home run derby was the fucking best.
The fucking greatest. But Bert fucking straight up bombs. I'm talking bombing it, not just over the fence, like like way past the fence. I think like you and Renazzisi had stroke.
Yeah.
Because Renazzisi actually played. But I mean, there was like a pure, you know, like Chris Farley, he was so funny and goofy, but you could tell that dude was pretty athletic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying you're like Farley, but
I know you're saying.
But
I know you're saying.
No, but you're like a genuine dude driving a golf ball, just brute strength. I was always fascinated by that.
That's so interesting. I'm equally as fascinated by your there's this thing you have where I'm like dying to know what your marketing plan is for the your hour special, because you're someone that has
this is it.
Then you're gonna watch it on Friday.
Yeah, this is it.
So
yeah.
For the best.
Fingers crossed.
He's also calling into 7:40 a.m. later this week. Hoping for the best on that.
I'm calling in. Yeah,
right after the school closing. Steve's got a spot.
Is this your fourth special?
Fourth one, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But how was yours received on Showtime? And did you see a bump? Or there's like I have so many comics I've talked to. They talk about how even like this round, no talk shows. I couldn't get on one talk show. And they said there's so many hour specials now. It's almost like the bookers, they don't give a shit. Now, that's what they could have been telling me.
No, that's
but
true.
That's even what JP Buck relayed. And I'm friends with the guy. And I was like, yeah, I guess so.
When I hosted that show a couple nights ago at the Viper Room, every comic I brought up to the stage said, mention my hour special.
Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of these people weren't even comics.
A lot of chefs. Fucking, can I tell you, I'm irate with how many chefs have fucking TV shows. I'm like, yeah. Enough, guys. I got into the entertainment business to get on TV. What the fuck? Like, I should have just gone to culinary school.
Yeah.
And, wait, you just shot a cooking show.
I just shot a cooking show.
You just shot a cooking show at Burr.
Suck it. Fuck you, Emeril Lagasse. I shot a cooking show.
But how was it received this time on that platform? The Machine, by the way, which was great.
Not, okay, very candidly, not huge.
Okay.
It was middle of the list of the specials they released that year.
Yeah.
Middle of the list. Now, granted, the ones ahead of it were like Martin Lawrence. They were bigger ones.
Yeah.
But it was middle of the list. It wasn't like, it was one of the top DVR'd specials.
Oh, that's great.
That they released last year.
Yeah.
But, and so I came out and I didn't see a bump all of November, all of December. But then I got the right to release clips from the special. And I released four clips, mm-hmm. and they all went semi-viral.
Yeah.
So the Machine story went viral, like legit, like 25 million views. And then like everyone else got like 5 million, 6 million views. Wow. While on Facebook, are you releasing clips?
Yeah, I've done one, but
do that sooner as opposed to later.
Yeah.
Because like I just started releasing them. Like, I just didn't even think about it. And I was mm-hmm. like, fuck, in December, I'll just release one. And then And that changed my touring. Right now, I haven't had a show that hasn't been sold out
since
January.
Wow.
But, and it's just because of that fucking Machine clip.
Mm-hmm.
And Machine clip and the Rachel Ray clip are the two ones that went big. But the show, right before that, nothing. I mean, like, I remember, they papered the room in Dayton, papered the room in Toledo, papered the room in, I mean, for my New Year's Eve show, was papered. It was like,
yeah.
And then that was all right after the special. Then that once that clip went viral, then people started looking for the special or finding the special. That and some guy bootlegged it and put it online, and mm-hmm. he titled it "Funny Naked Man Talking" because I did it with my shirt off, and that got like a million views. And
yeah.
I think I wish I had just let everyone bootleg it the day it comes out. Just go, everyone fucking put it on YouTube. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I would say that to you. I would say that right now to my fans. If you can get a hold of Steve's special, put it on fucking YouTube so people can find it.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, Showtime aired it a lot. They air the shit out of those things.
Oh, good.
But yeah, you got to hope for, Ralphie May told me, you got to hope for a snowstorm or something. Like the day it comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then if there's a snowstorm, you get huge
everybody's
numbers.
Inside. Yeah, I tried to get it on in the winter, but to no avail. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this. Some guy remembered this this weekend in Cleveland. He called it out. He goes, hey, Romeo Horsecock, prison fuck toy. Yep. Bert Kreischer. I go, fucking right. And I had done some podcast before I talked, and he heard me talk about it. When I did the Burn Identity, at the end, Bobby Lee comes out right, at the end for the sausage party.
I was supposed to do that, right?
Kreischer was supposed to come out and do it because we had just come off a tour for Jameson, and he had come up with Romeo Horsecock and sauce and prison fuck twin. He would just say those things randomly and stuff, and you got it on the bottle of Jameson. I thought it was the fucking funniest thing.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I always had those two names from Kreischer.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember Loftus hated it. He hated that we did that. He was like, you guys are going to fucking hurt somebody. You guys are going to get sued. And we were like, what are the odds that happened?
Yeah. 10 years of doing it. Nobody's ever gotten hurt.
Yeah, that was a fucking, that was fun. So you guys got to watch Steve's last special. Well, what Steve would do is I'd close the shows and Steve would just come out in the middle of my, like towards the end of my set. It was a great way to get me off stage too, because I would go long. Steve would just walk out in the middle of my set and just go, hey, you want to do this? And I'd be like, all right. And then, what do you do? Do you have anything big that you're closing your shows with now?
No, I mean, I stopped doing Sausage Party for a while, and then Colin Jost used to open for me, and he's like, do you still do it? I'm like, no. He's like, you got to bring it out. He's like, it's such a fun, inclusive, joyous way, and the crowd just kind of goes to another level sometimes at the end of the shows, and I'm just like, hey, maybe I should do it. You know, when somebody is like revered as Jost is like, you should do it. So I started doing it again, and it is a blast, but I mean, there's certain people that just gel with it, and you always gelled with it. Like, the shirt comes off. You always had these boots on. And it was just donkey kicks. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, there's some guys you bring up on stage, and you're worried about them, and then they turn it on.
Yeah.
And so damn funny. I mean, it's really – you know, and there's nights where we'll go into the show, and Steve will say, not feeling it tonight. Don't want to do Sausage Party. And I'll know in the back of my head, once he gets rolling, he'll want to close with it, so I'll have the song queued up. And then it'll be like, Gary, is the song ready? And I'll be like, yeah. So it's really funny just because I know once we get rolling that he'll want to do it.
How long have you guys been touring now together?
5?
Yeah, no. Well, it started with Sullivan and Son. Yeah.
No.
It started with me opening for the Sullivan and Son tour back in, 2013?
Yeah, and then once the tour ended, once the show got canceled, we had such a good rapport. He just came on the road with me. And then there was the relationship of him just constantly shitting on me and him never having accomplished anything in his career.
Right.
And I was like, this is a fun dynamic. And we met with Alan, started doing the Gentleman's Dojo.
Our own podcast.
All Things Comedy. And that's been fun. It's been a little over a year. Yeah. Well, and you did one of our first, I think,
He called in.
You called in.
He was
in,
on a plane to Portland.
You were going somewhere and...
I remember that.
You're like, I'm at the airport. I'm like,
drinking at the airport.
And that was my first question. I go, what bar are you at? What are you drinking?
Right. Yeah. You were going somewhere, and I just remember you called in like early in the morning.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. So what do you guys do? Are you dropping that once a week?
We do it once a week. Yeah, we just interviewed Corey Feldman because we went to a show, and it was fucking like we all went there, like me, Porter, Glebe, Tone Bell, Gareth Reynolds. We're just – and you know, Gareth was just here.
Gareth's great.
The greatest.
You okay here?
Yeah,
and we went there thinking, okay, this is going to be an absolute shit show. We're here to just watch this beautiful disaster unfold in front of us.
Yeah.
And out comes Corey Feldman giving it 110% on the tables, high-fiving people. Thank you so much for coming out. This means so much to me. Doing another tune. Thank you, guys. It's Sunday. I can't thank you enough. You're part of this special night for me. It's the first night of the tour with the Angels. You're just like... this dude fucking gets it. I mean,
right.
I couldn't make
For
fun
real.
Of him. Yeah, and then we interview him. The nicest guy. The nicest guy, considering all the things he's gone through. I read his book, you know, as like a joke, and then I read it. I was like, I kind of feel bad, you know, with all the child molestation stuff.
He just hurt his leg or something.
Sorry?
He got molested?
Yeah. I mean, he's the one guy that's come out and kind of exposed this Hollywood pedophilia ring that's going on.
Well, he was fucking hanging out with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Did he say Michael Jackson fucked him?
He did. No, he said that he didn't think that any of that stuff was true. I think the thing about Michael that you always hear is that he just wanted to be a kid so bad. He just wanted to hang out with kids. And as fucked up, as perverted as it sounds to us, it's like there's a kid that's been famous since he was 6 and he lives in a different universe. So that was always.
And it was funny because when Corey Feldman called in, he said, hey, I'm just getting to Madison, Wisconsin, or Green Bay.
Yeah.
He said, I don't have a lot of time. He was like really trying to brush things off. And we ended up talking to him for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, he ended up having a blast. So we're doing this Facebook Live show that he's doing. And he's doing like this telethon for 4 hours. If you want to do it, it's like on a Monday. It's from it's like from noon to four or something. And he'll do songs, and then he has like different friends coming through. And you just come in, you'll get a time slot, and you just kind of, you can talk with him or you can do stand up, whatever you want. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I grew up watching all these guys' movies, and it's like, I don't know, he seems like a good dude.
Oh, yeah. We were, I first met him probably 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, but he would never know who I am, but I've run into him a bunch because we used to do the same type of television, sadly enough. Like, he was a guest on The X Show a lot.
Oh, that's
and
great.
But the girls have watched Goonies. And so we're at this fucking laser tag place, and I see Corey Feldman. And I go, yo, Georgia. I go, that's the guy from Goonies. And she was like, what? Oh my God!
What's he doing working here?
She goes, is he? She goes, is he like super famous now? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but no, he's not. He's like, he's not doing really acting anymore.
Yeah.
She was like, wait, how is that even possible? And I was like, yeah, that is kind of curious. How is it? Like, I'm sure if you saw Goonies, you're like, this kid's gonna be a star.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's so cool that it was fun.
Totally fun. And he's doing like a show in Pasadena and another show, I think, in LA in like 2 weeks, and I might go. And it's just like,
but it's funny, when you got to that show, you were like, this is going to be a joke.
Completely.
I can't wait to just start goofing on it. And it was just not anything the way you thought it would be.
It was not. Yeah. I wanted to make fun of it, and I couldn't. I was like, he's a great performer.
And we actually, today, Steve wasn't there because he had to do a separate podcast at All Things Comedy Studio. But today we interviewed Howie Mandel for our podcast.
Really?
Which was great. He was awesome.
Wait, what podcast did you do today?
We both did our Gentleman's Dojo,
but
Steve couldn't break away to join me because I had to do the Howie podcast at his production office in Van Nuys.
Oh, okay.
So we went there kind of mobile, and then Steve stayed in the studio to interview another guest that we have for coming up.
Who?
Will Burke. He's one of the writer-directors on Kimmel. And we had him last week. We had to reschedule it. I couldn't reschedule on him.
Yeah,
on him a third
so I was
time.
Like, okay, so I'll like, take the reins on this one.
Okay.
You know, we just kind of, you know.
Yeah, I wish there's a lot of regrets I have about how I started my podcast and what is in my, like, I'd love to have done it with another person. It would have made things so fucking easy.
You still can.
Nah. I would have liked that because I would have liked to have help in the lifting process.
Right.
Like someone booking guests. That's the hardest part, is getting people booked. So funny. I got like three different people reaching out for you to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, at one point, Rachel from All Things Comedy reached out to me, and I was like, I go, why don't you just tell Steve to call me? Like, yeah, definitely. He's always going to come on my podcast. Just have him to call me. And she was like, well, I'll just set it up. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then even today, I talked to Gary, and then I was like, wait, is Steve coming? Like,
Gary wants to bring his dog.
Gary, you're going so on? Fucking high maintenance.
But we were
Callahan's
saying,
going to hear this and fucking destroy you.
We were saying something funny because I think Steve and I were doing the podcast. We were really excited about it at first. We were just putting different shows together. We interviewed the guy who was in that movie Atari Game Over. He created that game, Yar's Revenge, but also created E.T.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so we were doing all these different things. We had Theo Fleurion. We had all of these different things. And then Steve and I were doing a podcast one Monday, and we just had on a comic, just a random comic. And I remember at the end of it, we both looked at each other. We're like, so we were just both so bored. You know what I mean? We're just like, it was just another comic. What's your favorite room to play? And then we're just like, boy, it'd be great if we just really expanded this and do more of what we want to do rather than – because it's just like you said with the bookings.
Yeah.
If you had somebody help with that, it's so much easier rather than it's Monday, we got to fill studio time.
I'd have someone help with it, but I've been doing mine long enough that I know what works and what
right.
doesn't
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Like, I know what my fans like. Like, number one, they love two guests.
Yeah.
They love two guests. If we're drinking, they love that even more.
Yeah.
They love 3-hour podcasts.
Yeah.
They love comics. If you don't bring a comic in, a lot of times they're like, a lot of times I'm not fucking interested. Like, I don't have much to talk to you about. I had Lindsay Pellis in. You know who that is? Lindsay Pellis, I think I'm saying it right. She's an Instagram model.
Okay.
And I met her. I'd followed her.
I saw the pictures. I saw that. Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
I meet her and I go, like an idiot, I just go, we should podcast. And then not realizing, oh, fuck, I got to talk to her for an hour.
Right. Yeah.
And then I have her in, and she was fucking amazing.
Oh, that's great.
She was so interesting. I was like, holy shit. And then I'm actually kind of looking into doing a live. She wants to be a morning show TV host.
Oh, that's great.
Like Regis and Kelly. So I was like, fuck it. I'll book a theater, and we'll do a morning show We'll do. I do a call in sick to work show. We'll do a morning show.
Dude, that is, by the way, the most genius show I've seen put together that he does on the road.
I've heard of it. It's I don't know what it is. I was going to ask you about it.
Oh, it's it is.
You meet people at the club?
Yeah, I do. I go in. I do radio. See, what was happening was I was going in and I was drinking at radio every time I went in radio because everyone's like, "The machine's here, let's drink." And so I was like, "I never said no to booze." So I'm like, "Okay."
I was just at a radio station, I think, like 2 weeks ago. I think it was like, I was like in Philly or something.
Preston
and I
Steve.
Saw the fireball. And yeah. I was like, oh, is Kreischer here? And they all started laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's his fireball. Jesus Christ.
When I did President Steve last, there was like two people that were like, by the way, we're only here in studio because it's our dream to do a shot with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, dream achieved. But I was going in and
how
doing,
many dreams are you going to do right
dream
now?
Dream achieved.
I was doing so much radio and I would go in and I would be drinking on radio yeah. that I said Elliot in the Morning was the first one I said it to. I said I go, I just wish I could just go right to the club and do a show and have everyone call in sick to work.
Yeah.
And I think Elliot was like, that would be a great show name. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
it would. And so I call up Elliot the first time and I just called in and I said, hey, I'm gonna do a call in sick to work show, and it sold out in like 20 minutes.
Wow.
The last one sold out in a minute. Like they sell out so fucking quick. Here's yeah. the problem. You can only make like $5,000. So you fly into a fucking city and just make $5,000 and you bail. Not everyone's going, $5,000's a lot of money, Bert. No, it is.
Yeah.
But if you stay there for a weekend, you make more money.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to charge anyone more than $20. I feel like that's a ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other thing is it cannibalizes my material. So like I go do DC and there's 270 people that have seen the yeah. hour that I'm working on that I'm going to bring back to DC and do a weekend with.
Right, right.
So like
yeah.
I'd like to make it a live show. I'm doing something very different. I'm doing a call and sick to work show on the Wild West Comedy Fest thing. Wild
yeah.
West Comedy thing? What's
yeah.
it called?
Wild West Comedy Festival. Yeah.
Well, yeah, what the fuck
what days are you going to be there?
I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Fuck. I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, and I leave Thursday because I have to go to Vermont. But yeah.
I've always wanted to go to that thing because I like that's the one thing that I was like I'll tell you two things very candidly.
Yeah.
If I had a better gauge of if I knew you would never have said no, I would have two things differently I would have said. I would have called you and said, hey, I'd like to be a part of the Wild West Comedy Festival way earlier. Because it's been going on for like 6 years.
This is the third year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
but like I definitely, when that thing started, I went, yeah. that's something I want in my life. Like I want that. And I know that you're part of Vince and you're good friends with Vince. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
That, and I'll tell you the other thing that I genuinely regret. When you had the sitcom, I wish that I was a man enough to call you up and go, Steve, I'd like to audition. Because I would have loved to have been on your sitcom.
Oh,
but
well,
I didn't. It happened and I just get embarrassed. So I was
No. Well, here's the thing that most people don't know is that I had a list of a dozen guys that yeah. I had worked with that I tried without contacting them to fit them in the show. Okay. Yeah. And so you were one of the guys I proposed season two and season three, because the first season, you're just trying to get it up.
Right.
Once we found out we're coming back, it's like, all right, now the doors are open. And because of my fondness for you and the drinking aspect, I was at the beginning of each season, I would go in and I'd sit with the writers and I'd pitch different people. Yeah. Like to get Leslie Jones on was she wasn't Leslie Jones at the time, obviously, but you know, it took. It was just pushing a boulder up a mountain
really?
Every time with everybody. I tried to get Sebastian on. I tried to get Bill
Burr on.
And
these are all like
on.
No-brainers that you would – why yes. wouldn't they put Sebastian or Bill Burr or
– So, you know, it just – it was one of those things where every now and then it would work out yeah. with Caliendo. Oh, he does all the voices. And so the writer's room lights up. But if they didn't necessarily – if my showrunner didn't necessarily know who the comic was, I was just constantly selling and selling and selling. So I never wanted to reach out to my friends and go, hey, I'm trying to get you on.
Yeah.
Because then if it doesn't work out, then I feel like a complete asshole. But I had this list of guys I was adamant about getting on, second season and third season, constantly. And it just – you know, as badly as you wanted it to happen, yeah. believe me, I wanted it to happen just as much.
Oh, yeah. I met up with you guys when we were shooting for Travel Channel. I met up with you guys in
oh,
Phoenix.
Oh, God, in that's Phoenix. Right. That was
yeah,
so
yeah.
fun.
And
yeah, that's right.
I was like, this is something I would have really liked. Like,
yeah.
In my head, I was like, I would have loved – I've always wanted – that's why I love the Jameson tour so much. And that's the one thing I am jealous about you guys. Like, I am a pack animal by nature.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm like – I've gotten this career where I'm just always by myself, and I don't understand that.
This is funny you're mentioning this, okay? Because I literally I was leaving for Cleveland on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I love the club, but I love my kids. It's getting tougher and tougher to leave. My daughter cries now all the time when I leave. My son's a year and a half. And I'm just like, I remember sitting on the couch. I was taking a red eye and just stared at me. She's like, if you don't leave soon, you know, you're going to miss your flight. And I couldn't get motivated to get up. I'm like, it's been 20 years. I'm fucking drained. I don't know how much longer I can do this. And then I hung out with Porter. I'd seen his hour. I saw your hour, and there was like a circle of guys. I'm like, you know what? It's like we're all working. We're all comics. We're respected as comics, but we're not part of that crew. I think that it's like Nick Kroll will always be working. Mulaney will always be working. And so I was thinking of like reaching out to a handful of guys and creating like this tour called the Industry Darlings, where it's just a group of four or five comics that we're road comics, but it's like, you know, let's just tour and have fun and split the pie instead of all of us just going out and being isolated every weekend. It just gets to be run down. So maybe like me, you, Porter, Cannon, and like, you know, at least three headliners we'll have on it. Sorry.
See what you did to my dog? Isla. Oh, that's your dog.
Yeah. What's up, Isla?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Say hi to the puppy. You can say hi. She's friendly. Be nice.
What's up, Isla?
Hi.
I like your t-shirt, Dolly Parton. That's awesome.
Hi.
Hey, hey baby, what do you need?
You're good. You're good.
Oh, you going to bed?
Aw.
Right. I love you. Send your sister out to get kisses. I love you. All right. We're doing a podcast, Isla.
Good night, hon. Good seeing you.
Good night.
All right, send your sister out quickly, though, okay? Keep the dog in.
No, but it's funny you say that because I would think you immediately – maybe the reason you don't feel the need to bring an opener or a feature because if you weren't doing what you do with the fans and hanging out afterwards, like then maybe you'd feel lonelier. But I think because you have that,
I don't know.
That's better for you.
I don't know. I did the Wilbur the other in January and it sold out and I was behind the stage, and I think this is the moment where you feel like, yeah, I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, it's just me again. No one else, just me.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. Like, no, I wish I had a team with me that were like I could celebrate with, but I go, no, it's just, I felt silly like going, good job, Bert. Like, because I'm like, it's just me. It's just me. Like, it's the one thing that, like, you know, like, Segura and I have always talked about it, like, doing dates together in like Albuquerque or Montana, but it never fucking works out like that. That's why I love the Jameson tour. That was like one of my favorite times doing stand-up. Because all you had to do was 20 minutes. We all got paid fucking tons of money.
Yeah, but I think everybody inspired each other too. Because that was the thing. It was just like, you know, Griffin's going before me. I fucking love him. I respect him so much. It's like, I don't want to drop the baton throughout the course of this because I'm passing it to Gardell, then Gardell's passing it to you, and you're closing, and you know you take it to another level, and it's just like, you know, everything just completely influenced me to want to be a better comic off of that Jameson tour. And I think if I was just opening for like Shoemaker or something, I wouldn't have.
Choice you said him,
but you know what I mean, like a road dog that brings people out on the road and stuff. I don't know that I would have. Had all those unique experiences in such a short amount of time because that's when I just moved to LA, and then all of a sudden you're getting to see every improv and funny bone across the country with four or five different killers, and it was like, oh God, this is what it takes to be a fucking headliner. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it seems like that's something I would have gotten into. Maybe, it's like one of those other things. I remember a long time ago me and Segura said to this guy that we were touring with, I think you know who he is, but I'm not going to say his name because I'm fucking going through drama. But we were like, it would be great when we get to all get to do a theater tour. And he was like, I'd never do a theater tour with you guys. You're not fucking famous. And we're like, yeah. And he's like, I need someone to help me sell tickets. You guys don't sell tickets. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Jesus.
And then I was like, yeah, well, and then.
Alonzo Bowden.
It's Alonzo Bowden, yeah.
Adam like, Richman.
And then but is
that, the other one.
The members is food one. But I just it's like I'm not, is jealous in the right word, but it's like I it would be cool to be like Like, it's one thing I loved about Travel Channel, and I gotta be honest with you, the product that I put out wasn't the best, but it was fun as fuck to do it. Yeah. Trip Flip was like a mediocre show at best, but it was so fun traveling with 11 people. It was like having a band.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I always wanted in stand-up, is to have a band, but...
And then, but you and Segura do so much together now, don't you?
Yeah, but no, just
on the podcast, is that it, or...
No, not really. I mean, we just talk.
Because you had the competition.
The competition was,
yeah, which was great.
Was big. But yeah, like we did Rogan together. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun doing Rogan together. We did 2 days in a row. We're going to do it 3 days in a row. But Segura's like, I can't talk fucking 3 days in a row. What are we going to say the third day?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So funny. Your positions are exactly completely different, because they're completely different. Because you always bring guys on the road with you.
You always have, though.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Like I just think it's, I run with that pack mentality like you do. I could be by myself, and I could, even on Sullivan and Son, it's like, you know, to this day, my managers and agents gave me shit. They said, you go out on that tour, you make six figures, clean house, take it all for yourself in two or three months. I was like, no, I'm going to go out. I'm going to split everything 25% with the three other guys. So it's four of us, and then Gary will get a cut too. And if all of us go out and do a good enough job and sell the brand well enough,
it'll sell the show.
Then we'll sell the show.
It was fucking brilliant.
And so that was, I was always like, let's have a team mentality, not, you know, an individual. And look, it was probably stupid of me. I probably should have gone out and sold my name out there a little more, because I definitely took a step back during and after the show. There was this, you know, because it really affected my career in not a good way.
How so?
I think that there was, like, at the time, you got to remember, like, TBS is doing some single cams now, and Angie Tribeca. But at the time, there was this Tyler Perry label that gave people kind of the heebie-jeebies of, like, oh, that's the Tyler Perry network. And so then you got a sitcom on there. And as great as it was of an experience, it was fucking awesome. It was the greatest. There's still that, like, perception of brand, I guess, amongst executives and everybody. Like, JFL never did it. 3 years, stand-up comic, own TV show, three other stand-ups. They never invited us. Late-night talk shows, never did one. Never did one to promote the thing. And then I had a third-hour special coming out the third season. So it's like a double whammy. It's like everything I've worked with, I felt like was garnered towards that, gearing towards that 1 year. Nothing. Fucking nothing.
Do you remember when the Chicago Comedy Festival was going on? Was that JFL? And it was sponsored by TBS.
Yeah.
That was the first year our show
was on.
We had
to get on the show.
Fight to get on. And they gave you one show.
The festival that TBS was doing. Yeah.
Really?
It was absolutely crazy. And after the third season got canceled, you know, so we're not coming back for fourth. And then
You did three seasons?
We did three seasons. And
I talked to Roy about that.
Yeah.
About that feeling. There's a feeling that I didn't realize all men have of this, when a job ends, or, I mean, you don't technically get fired in this business, but it feels a lot. It looks like getting fired, and it feels like getting fired.
Yeah.
But they're not, they say, we're choosing not to move forward with the project. And you're like, yeah, okay, that's a nice way of saying you're fired.
Yeah.
But there is a connective tissue that all grown men feel, having lost a job. That my friend lost a job, and he just came up to me. And Travel Channel we'd not moved forward with Travel Channel whatever. And so I knew the feeling, and I'm in therapy. I'm talking about it. I talked to Roy, and Roy knew the feeling. Roy was telling me, it's like a loss. It's like a death.
Yeah.
And then I said to Roy, I was like, I really want to talk to Steve about it. Cause Steve, you don't strike me as someone who spends too much time on emotion. You just go, fuck it. What's the next project?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely that, you know, I'm good at compartmentalizing all that stuff, but I think when you have a third season and then you have a third hour, and it seems like the industry doesn't care, it seems like people aren't coming out, and you're just putting, you're investing so much into these projects, and you're not seeing any kickback from it, then, you know, I almost quit stand-up about a year after that, because it was just like... It seems like you're putting all this work in, and nobody gives a shit. So it's like, well, what the fuck are you doing it for then? And going out on the road became definitely a job. And that lasted for a good month or two. But then, you know, you just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just go, fuck it.
But don't you think too,
about the next thing?
Because I just remember this. There was – I think Sullivan was ending – after three seasons with or without high ratings. Because if you look at their landscape, almost every show that they had, Men at Work, Ground Floor, they never renewed them beyond two or three seasons. That was it. It was like three seasons and done. All of them were 10 episodes. We were fortunate enough on that third season to get 13 episodes, which was unheard of. But I almost think regardless of what the ratings were, if they were good, bad, or indifferent, I think we were done. I think they were pulling
it. The minute the new president came in, though, everybody knew it was like, we're done.
That's the one thing that I just wrote a joke about, which no one would ever get this on the road, but I wrote a joke about what it's like to get a new president in a network. And I was like, you know, it's amazing. As for the group of liberals that they are, they sure act like Saddam Hussein, because they just go in and they're like, I'm going to call off names. I'm going to start murdering people.
Yeah.
I want you to murder them with me. If you don't murder them with me, I'm murdering you.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I went through fucking five presidents at Travel Channel.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And every time I just was like, you just watch people. It was just like a massacre.
Yeah.
And then new president, and it was, I mean, if I had, I've been fired from Travel Channel, I think four times.
Right.
Just always fired. And then they were like, fuck, we need him. And then like you'd sign a deal. And then only once did my deal get renewed immediately.
Yeah.
But like I got fired after every season of Bert the Conqueror that ever aired.
That's crazy.
I got fired after the first one. I got fired after the second one. And I got fired after the third one.
And what was the reason for them firing you?
I have no idea. I mean, I got fired three times on the same show. I got fired three times.
When you get fired that second time, is it almost laughable because you know they're going to bring you back, or you still don't know?
No, the second time I was like, okay. Like the first time there was a new president.
Yeah.
She just did not like me. And she told me that. She flew me to D.C. to tell me, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Jesus.
Head back to the airport.
I was with two guys who were about to lose their jobs. They didn't know it. But she flew me out there and sat Charlie Parsons and Matt Butler. And she was like, I do not like you. I don't like anything about you. I Googled you and everything I find about you makes me dislike you more. And I was like, and I remember this guy Charlie Parsons going, this meeting's not going so good.
Jesus Christ. Why, like, what is her end game in even communicating that to you? Was there...
To tell me that she didn't make sure that I knew she didn't like me, I think.
Jesus Christ. That's awful.
It was really weird. The guy that she brought in to replace Charlie Parsons, I think, came out. He doesn't know that I know this, but everyone at the network that stayed at the network liked me.
Yeah.
And he came in and there was a big poster of me in the thing and his first day, and he was like, "Oh, I'm a fucking, I ride roller coasters." He's like, "We will not be putting this idiot and shit like this on our network." And I was, and pointing at me, and literally three people called. They're like, "Just give me a heads up. Don't trust Fred." And
yeah.
I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "Do not trust Fred."
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "He just mocked you in front of everyone. He doesn't like you." And then of course, what happens a lot of times at these networks is that they have a list of ideas that they are going to put their thumbprint on the network. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, and Birth Conqueror has been canceled three times, and it's airing again on Travel Channel.
Yeah.
So they started re-airing it because a bunch of clips went viral on Birth Conqueror.
Yeah.
They're airing. I walked in and Isla's watching Birth Conqueror. By the way, they buried this season. They did not want it to air. They buried it, no promotion. And then Isla, my youngest, is watching it today. I go, why would it be airing?
But isn't it weird? So you're saying that they were telling you this right to your face, right?
Yeah.
But the flip side of it is, which Steve and I see all the time, is that you'll go into these clubs and they will literally be swinging off your balls the entire weekend. Like, weekend's great. Numbers are great. Yeah. So happy to have you. Boom, boom, boom. You get back to LA on Monday. That guy was a dick. It was the slowest weekend we've ever had. He was a pain. I see it like all the time from people who go out and they're just swinging along throughout the weekend waiting for you to leave.
You know, man, this is going to be so inside baseball, but like I can't even talk about it because this is probably, but like, yes, I didn't realize how much people didn't like me until I started selling tickets. And then I went, oh, sweet. I don't think you ever I've
you
had
mean
really,
executives or
no,
something?
No,
or?
Fucking across the board. You know what's so funny?
Not comics, though. I mean,
no, comics, I've always been cool with comics. I've never
come across a comic that's been like, Birds of Dick. But it's, I laugh even saying it. It's like.
I know people. It's, I'll tell you, walk in your car, Bert.
I'm be real honest. Yeah. Segura has not liked people and told them, I don't fucking like you. Like, there's a very famous story about a club he went to where he found out the manager was dating the guy that she hired to host and feature for him. And Segura found out and confronted them. And then told everyone, I'll never work that fucking club again. Yeah. By the way, he was getting paid probably $1,500 for the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm in my head going, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why, how do you have any fucking self-esteem to do that? Like, I would be like, oh, this is a great week, Vince and Morris.
Right.
<yeah. laughs> It was Vince Morris. Vince is a nice guy, but Segura and him will never get along ever.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away that he had the balls to be like, fuck Toledo. And let me tell you something. That chain would probably give him 100% of the door if he do Toledo now.
Yeah.
Like, he just would love to. And so it's really fun. Like, and then I don't know the right way to say it, but like, once you start selling tickets, then you realize, I don't think they ever, like, they weren't my family. Like, I was invested so much in people. Mm-hmm. Like, I was Doc ran the Funny Bone in Dayton. And I was like, we're close, we're buddies. And then he gets fired. And then I'm like, I haven't spoken to him since.
Right.
I saw him every once a year. I saw him once a year. I'd hang out with him. I'd go to fucking theme parks with his kids.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you remember we used to, like get in at the Hollywood Improv and you'd be like, okay, cool, Matt Comyn. We're buddies.
Yeah.
And then he just leaves and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Right.
I got to fucking become a new friend with somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And thank God Matt Comyn now owns a bunch of clubs.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I don't fucking.
Well, my buddy Lee Levine has the greatest story. He basically years and years ago was good friends with Warren. Remember Warren, who used to run the Irvine Improv years ago?
Yes.
Years ago. He was one of the original managers that I remember. He got in with Warren, and Warren said, hey, listen, I want you to be our new house MC. I want you to run our comedy classes, all this other stuff. I just that's my goal for you. Lee calls me up all stoked, this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, Lee, I have bad news for you. I just found out Warren got fired for sexual harassment. And not only that, they were bringing in Frank Kelly, who I was friends with. And I said, I got even worse news for you. Frank wants me to do all that shit. Oh,
and then God. Frank so left. Frank and went leaves. To fucking
Lovitz.
Lovitz.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then thank God Dan stuck around. Like, yeah. That's the, you know, like Dan, like Dan's my friend. But then like I would say that. I would say that to the day's end. So I've known him so long.
Yeah.
But then like New Year's Eve, I get this offer. I wish I could tell you the exact numbers.
Yeah.
I'll just say it. I can't even do fake. I'll say it like this, okay? So that they're not even no correlation. I get an offer to do Seattle for $1. It's not $1, but you know, $1.
Right.
But I'm only making 50 cents on the road. So I'm like, fuck, yeah, I don't mind.
It's New Year's Eve,
mind.
Sure.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, I'll do it for 10. And so I go to a party. It was Aaron's party for being at the Improv for 20 years or right. something. Yeah. We're at the party. We're all drinking. And my manager agent's like, you can get more for New Year's. That's all I'm telling you. And I was like, I don't know. It seems like a solid offer. So I see Dan, and as a friend, I go, Dan, what should I get for New Year's? Like, do you think $1 is good? And he'd go, I give you $5. I go, you give me $5? And he's like, yeah, that's what I'd pay you. And I was like, do you have any openings? And he was like, yeah, I got Oxnard. You want to do Oxnard? And I go, for $5? He's like, fuck yeah. I was like, great. I maybe made him 50 cents at the door.
Like, that was when they papered it?
They papered the whole fucking room. And I was just like, oh, God. Sorry.
As people are getting their sorry, free Dan. Tickets. Like, we still got to buy champagne? This is bullshit.
Dan's like, oh, I guess we'll. And this one now, they're like, where do you want to do New Year's this year? I was like,
but you had that same scenario with one of the clubs, right? Where basically the offer
many
was
times.
So
what?
Disgustingly low. And you're like, I'll just stay home New Year's Eve. And all of a sudden, they found the money.
Oh yeah, that's of course. I've had exactly that happen where you feel bad because somebody's paying you a great amount, and then I've had other times where, you know, you get lowballed, especially New Year's, and I was like, I'm not doing that. That's an insulting offer. I was like, I got to do it at least for twice that, and then they're like,
see, I've never been that guy. I've always been like, oh, I'll do it for that.
Yeah, I countered at twice, and they go, all right. And it wasn't even like, you know, I'm going to walk away. It's just like, I just countered and they go, all right, sure.
Right. It was that simple.
I doubled it. It's crazy.
So wait, who's your manager now?
Kara Baker.
Who's that?
She works with Avalon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've also been confident to leave managers. I never had that. I've always been like, if they want me, I'll stay with them.
Yeah, I just left. I left CAA after, you know, when you're a kid and you're young and you're coming up, you're like, CAA, that's the best agency. And then you finally get there, you're like, fuck this shit. I just left. Went to WME. I left them.
Yeah. Right. So for all the people that are just like, oh my God, if CAA were my agency, I would have shit by the ass. And meanwhile, people are leaving them, jumping ship just as quickly.
Can I tell you my favorite CAA story?
Yeah.
So I think we were all at CAA mostly because of Frosty, right? Is that what brought you there?
No, I actually left Frosty to go to CAA, and then Frosty and it was when I got Sullivan and Son, and I still gave him a cut of Sullivan and Son. I sent it to Frosty because I was like, "You're a big part of helping me achieve this."
Yeah.
And I still gave him a cut, and he was really like. Like, you know, appreciative of that because I always appreciated him.
I love Frosty.
Yeah.
So I am not happy at CAA. I'm with them and we do a meeting, like a horseshoe, round shoe table meeting where you go via satellite to New York offices. We're there in the horseshoe.
Yeah.
And it's everyone can see each other. And I get in there and Frosty's with Matt Blake and Matt Blake and Frosty, I think, were in New York at the time. And they're like, all right, well, everyone's here. This guy I went to college with, Tom Young's there. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's an agent there. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This is my fucking team.
Yeah.
And I was like, all they got to do is not fuck this up. Like, not say something ridiculous. So this girl comes in. I don't know what her fucking name was. But she sits down. She's like, by the way, so this is my second season of Birth Conqueror. And I just signed a deal with Travel Channel. I was negotiating to sign a deal with Travel Channel for a 3-year deal. This girl comes in and she goes, so, all right, let's start it. And she goes, I think our number one goal is to get you on television this year. And I'm like, and I watch, but Frosty forgets he's on camera.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, fuck. And then leans over to Matt Blake and whispers in his ear, mention that Bert's on Travel Channel. And Matt goes, okay. Actually,
oh, God.
And I go, Frosty, we're going to see you. And he's like, ah. And then she was like, and then this poor girl just fucking proceeded to create the biggest shit show I've ever been a part of. And I literally said, I'm leaving CAA. Holy
shit.
Wow,
she fucked it up that bad?
She was like, yeah, but you don't want to be on Travel Channel. Who wants to be on Travel Channel? I go, well, I do. I'm on there. I'm negotiating a 3-year deal. I go, should I tell you guys who I am? And you can just watch everyone scramble. No one knew anything about me. No one cared anything about me. They were like, it was like, fuck.
And who was the girl?
And
like,
they are your agents.
And they were my agents.
And they are your agents at the time. That's fucking crazy.
And I was like,
dude.
And I got out of that meeting and Frosty was calling me immediately. He's like, dude, okay, I understand you have to fire CAA for acting. Do not fire us for touring. Yeah. Fuck, you know I can do a great job. And I was like, and then I went into UTA and Chris Hart, who's like, they've got these Alan Alderman and Halderman and Chris Hart, all these guys that were like, kind of studs. You're like, fuck yeah. And then the first thing he said was, dude, I love your fucking podcast. And I went, huh. I remember saying to the CAA I had a podcast, and like, who cares about podcasting? And I was like, right now, I guarantee you they do.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they'd love a piece of my fucking money. So, by the way, I'm talking so much shit on this fucking podcast. I feel horrible, but Frosty knows I love him, and I love all those guys at CAA. But
that also comes with a tenure in this business. It's not like you're young and naive and you're trying to be everybody's friend. It's just like, no, you've earned the right to go, you know what? I've made some great relationships. I've had some bad relationships, and there's nothing wrong talking about it. Yeah,
I was always shocked when you I felt like you and Matt started the headway for him to leave Levity.
Yeah,
and then I didn't go, and then you're like, I'm leaving Matt, and I was like, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. You have it. Segura has it. Like Burr has it. I've got this fucking like Gary and I probably have the same thing where we're like. Like, just happy to be here. Like, so excited I get to do stand-up. Like, it's a weakness, I think, you know?
I will say this is what's great. And I used to work with Mitch Fatel a lot, too. And this is what's great about Steve. Like, whenever the club starts fucking me around, like, if I call and try to get information about the hotel or where I'm staying, like, if they start messing with me, like, Steve just jumps in and just takes care of it. Like, just, we were at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh. And the manager... 22-year-old, didn't know what the hell she was doing, didn't return one phone call. It's like, I'm not doing the open mic on Wednesday. Like, I'm working there this weekend. And, you know, it's amazing to me just because they just don't care, you know. But then you go to these other.
That is what bums you out. Is I care so fucking much about my career.
Yeah.
And just there are so many people that really genuinely don't care. The biggest problem I had with producers that I worked with on Travel Channel often mm-hmm. was that a lot of them didn't really care. I mean, and by the way, I know a lot of them are listening to this, and it's not you, Dan, and it's not you, Paul, and it's not you. But there's a lot of them that just – they didn't really care about television. You'd go, yeah. What shows do you watch? I'm like, I don't watch TV. And you're like, then you shouldn't be allowed to make it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't watch TV, you shouldn't be allowed to make it because – that you should definitely be into television. Like I was into, I'm into television.
Yeah.
I like TV. Mm-hmm. I love podcasts. That's why I said when we were talking about booking a podcast, I go, it's so hard because like no one would have ever in a million years said Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds would be two amazing guests.
Yeah.
They just would have been like, huh, what? Oh, they have a right. podcast? What? Dude, they're the number one downloaded podcast I have.
Yeah.
The number one. And the other one is Ari and Steve Renazzisi are number those two are the two most downloaded.
Yeah,
there will be a lot of people that be like, "Huh, what?"
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I care and like I really genuinely care. But man, that drives me nuts. And that's the other thing that I don't know is that people in comedy clubs who just don't give a fuck.
But there's yeah. I think more of them that don't give a shit because again, if you say to 10 comics, what are your favorite clubs to work across the country, Hilarities is always coming up.
Yeah, I mean that's why you go to Nick at Chicago Hilarities Improv or Tony Baldino in Chicago, and you're just like, oh, this is what it's like to be a performer,
right?
Yeah,
this is what it's like to be treated like you're in show business, and then all of a sudden the perception of that club changes, and you're like, I'm giving it 110% as yeah. opposed to maybe 95% in Toledo or whatever the fuck it is. But yeah, I mean, I'll always care and I always want to do a show because those people work hard all week. You want to give them a great show. But sometimes the vibe in the club permeates from the manager down and you're just like, all right, you just got to fucking batter through this weekend and just hope for
the
best.
That's what made Todd Glass crazy was he'd go to clubs and they just didn't care.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hold on, guys. You're not paying attention to what music you're playing before I go on stage? Like, and it's amazing those little attentions to details really change everything.
Yeah.
When we were doing the last season of Triflip, I was like, hey, guys, I'll tell you what, you'll get to do everything I'm going to do. Because, like, and I said, so find stuff you want to do. Like, I'd say that to the producers. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And, like, there was a handful of our producers on that show that fucking really gave a shit.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck, man, I want to go swimming with great white sharks. And they're like, then fucking find the best one because you'll get to do it. I'll tell you what. We'll shoot until we got it and then everyone in the crew gets to do everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden everyone gave a shit. They're like, oh, fuck. Let's definitely fucking – I want to go bungee jumping. I want to go jumping off the world's tallest mountain. Yeah. Like, and so – I don't know. I got in trouble at my school, my daughter's school, because I was a safety valet and these people parked illegally and I yelled at them. And they were both teachers and then they started crying. And then the principal came to me and said, hey, we got to find a new way to do this. And the teachers were there and I literally was like, I told her, I go, hey, ladies, I can stop caring about where you park a lot faster than I can make you care. So I just I won't ever help again. Fuck you. And I walked away. And I was like, "That way to go, dummy." That principal got fired, and then fucking the other two ones apologized to me, and they're like, "Yeah, I shouldn't park in handicapped spots."
Yeah, but we always, Steve and I always say this every time you go to a club that you haven't been to in a year. It's always a different staff. I mean, it's very rare that it's the same manager.
Always.
You know, I mean, it's different people all the time. And Steve knows one of my biggest pet peeves, which drives me up a fucking wall, is when they bring me up from the back. The sound guy, and it's the worst fucking intro. It's like, how am I supposed to get excited about going on right now? And like, it really drives me. I mean, Steve and I've seen it so many times where you're like, that's the energy you're throwing behind this shit.
Dude.
You know what I mean? It's awful.
It's I had a girl that featured for me or hosted for me at a college, and she was so nervous, and she was like, okay, before I go up there, it's Kreischer, right? And I went, yeah. She goes, Kreischer. No end, right? No, there's no end. Kreischer. Okay, great. So then she goes up. She does her stuff. She's like, all right, you guys ready to put your hands for the man of the hour? You guys know him, you love him. Put your hands together for Brent Kreischer. I was like, fuck.
A buddy of mine years ago when I started doing stand-up in San Francisco, he worked with Zach Galifianakis, and that guy couldn't have butchered Zach's name six different ways every show. Zach Galifianakis. Like every show, he fucked it up and just couldn't. And
Zach, then I remember, tuberculosis.
He finally got it right, and he was so fucking excited. It was like a little kid.
I was so bad at fucking hosting when we'd had, like, when I'd hosted the Hollywood Improv. I would, to this day, I have a hard time remembering. I hosted it, the store, the other night for Ari's show, and I fucking could not say the girl's name.
Yeah.
She told it to me five times, and as soon as I was like, keep it going for
Lonnie Love.
Sydney.
Oh. Steve and I are baffled about this, and maybe you have an opinion about this. I find so many guys that live in LA, so many comics that work the road, their features, they, you know, maybe headline, see clubs around the country. I am baffled how people make a living in LA and survive, because I know what I make, and I'm certainly, we're renting an apartment. Like, I just don't know how the hell people do it.
I can't believe when I look at the cars people have, I always go like, how do you afford that? It's so funny. I think there's also like, then you go to the store and you see someone who's like not doing the road or not doing television. Yeah. And his car, I go, wait, how do you make your money? Like,
yeah.
Like that fucking blows me away. Like, my gardener and my maid both went to Hawaii this past Christmas.
What are you paying them?
That's what I said. That's what I fucking said.
Gary wants to know if he can be your gardener.
I can double dip.
Gardener's been gone all month. My gardener's been gone all month. He's in fucking Hawaii for a month.
Really?
And by the way, he doesn't even do a fucking good job. We fired our old one because he was old as shit and he was just bad. And then this one.
But I always look around at like buddies of mine that just work once a month, maybe. They're, you know, working B&C rooms. I'm like, I know what my rent is. I know what my car – like, how do you guys do it? How do you pull it together? Especially in this city.
I'm always fascinated. Like, I would love to know – by the way, Colin Jost is an interesting guy because you were with him in Montreal one year. And you were sitting talking to him. And then you were like, hey, Bert. And I came over and I think he was like, hi, how you doing? And I was like, how does Steve know the guy from SNL? And you're like – and then you just said he used to feature for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I met him – years ago, Neil Brennan, when Colin was just a staff writer, Neil was friends with Colin because Neil's always hanging out with everybody.
Yeah.
And Colin's like, yeah, I'm looking to do more stand-up. I'm like, you can do the road with me if you want. He goes, really? I gave him some dates the next day. Next thing I know, we're in West Palm or Fort Lauderdale at the Hard Rock. Greatest time. Kid's great. Works hard. And then for three summers when during his hiatus on SNL, he'd come and open for me. And then he got, you know, each year, you know, then he got the head writer's gig. And then the minute he got Update, it was like, all right, you're not opening for me anymore.
Right.
Congratulations. Yeah. But couldn't be a nicer guy. Like, works his ass off. And
he was part of your special in New York, the one before the one.
Yeah, the champion. Yeah. He actually opened up and did time. And it was just before he was about to do, because I taped it like January 2nd.
Yep.
And his first week on SNL was like the next
week. That's right.
Really?
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
Well, let's talk about your special. I know you got to run out of here to go to play hockey.
Yeah,
right?
I'm playing hockey, but it's a playoff game. Otherwise, I would just stay. But
Gary, can you hang or do you have to leave too?
I'll probably go.
Okay. All right. Cool. So
no, because I can throw something.
He's got to start gardening.
Yeah. So the special airs this Saturday night.
Friday night. 9 o'clock Eastern.
11 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Mine was at 11 o'clock.
Was it really?
I think it was at 10 o'clock, actually. Oh. It was 11 to 10 p.m.
Okay. I don't know. 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Tell
good.
The damn
That's
joke.
Really good.
Yeah. So pretty pumped about it. Gary opened.
Yeah, I got to do the warm-up for it.
Did the warm-up for
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Yeah, I found like this little nice niche. I've been doing a lot of I don't have my own special, but I've done warm-up for a bunch of other specials, which has been great.
That's not bad.
It's a good gig, well, yeah.
Did they record you at all?
I don't think so.
They
I think
should
you
have.
Can get it.
They should
yeah,
have
yeah.
just recorded you doing
it. I asked Shuler to record everybody's sets since the cameras are there and everything.
Yeah.
And then a week after, I'm like, hey, can we email the clips to all the guys? Because it was you and then Gareth Reynolds opened.
And Bill Crawford.
And Bill Crawford did the second one. And
where did you shoot it?
In Chicago.
Okay.
Lincoln Hall. And I said, can you guys send them the clips? And they go, oh, we meant to tell you we didn't do it. we forgot to. I'm like, how the fuck did you forget to just turn the cameras on and just film these guys and give them a great tape?
Right.
I mean, it would have been a great tape. Four cameras, yeah. You know, it'd been awesome.
They just double punched.
Yeah.
I've double punched a lot.
Yeah.
It looked great. I remember when we were setting it up in the afternoon when you were kind of doing the run throughs, it seemed like you're like, is this going to come together? Like, it's just like you walked in and it looked like somebody was just moving into a house. Like,
yeah.
Shit was everywhere. There were chairs everywhere. Just like, you know, nothing was done. And then we literally came back like 4 hours and like, you know, people were being sat. The lights were down. The lights were on. The backdrop. I was like, oh, wow, this looks great.
But the end bit is different than most stand-up like hour specials. It's a different ending. I had like a blowjob joke. Fucking killed, and it was my closer. But as we're getting closer, like, my mom and dad are introducing me and my brother. I talk so much about my wife. The back half is all these lessons I want to instill upon my children as they grow older, and like advice to younger people from somebody who's 40 to somebody who's 20. And it was like a really sweet kind of like. And then I was like, am I just going to end this on a blowjob joke because it kills? And so a month out, I worked on the ending bit, and it wasn't until the third week it worked. And then I had 2 weeks to really hone down on it and memorize it, but it was still so raw, and it really is a message to my children that I got emotional before I launched into it. And in the hour, I got emotional, and I cracked for a second because it was really raw, it was really earnest, and I really was seeing my children as I'm launching into this. And I cracked, and we almost took it out, but I said, keep it in because it's an authentic moment, and it's something you don't see in most stand-up specials. And if comics watch it, I know I'll get crucified for it, but it's like, fuck it. I'm talking about my kids,
yeah.
And I do get emotional about my kids, so I really love it. And this kid, Jemiah, who plays guitar, he opened up for me. He's a blues guitarist, so he opens up. He's the music that bleeds into it, and he's like this 17-year-old kid. He's this blues prodigy and just shreds. And then when we were getting there, I was like, why don't we have Jemiah Rogers do music underneath this last bit? And so we rehearsed it that day at the taping.
Holy shit.
And I said, Jemiah, can we try this out? He said, yeah. So we talked it out. I did it once. He played guitar. Shuler was on the stage with us. He goes, I wouldn't do it. I go, okay. And then he goes, but you know what? Hold on. I'm on stage. Let me hear it. Let me go to the back of the room. So he goes to the back of the room. He watches it. I go, Jemiah, would you mind doing it again? He goes, fuck yeah. So we do it. And then as soon as it ended, Shuler goes, absolutely. You got to do it. You got to do it, Jemiah. So the actual taping, when you see it, it's only the third time we ever did it. I mean, technically, it's kind of like the first time because it was in front of an audience and stuff. So it just one of those things where I felt like it kind of came together. I don't want to tell what it is, but it's like a message for my kids. I hope it goes over well. We'll see. I don't know.
I would have rather heard the blowjob joke.
Believe me, I want to do it. But
by the way, I get teared up in my blowjob jokes. This was a good one, guys.
Where'd you shoot yours? Or your
in
special?
Irvine. And the thing that I didn't realize was I didn't realize that my kids would see it one day. I've just recorded it, and there's like I talk about my wife farting during oral sex.
Yeah.
Like I'm fucking no concept, no wherewithal to be like, yeah, one day my kids are going to be like,
right.
Oh, well, that's what in my special I was very aware of it. That's why I didn't end on the thing I was going to end, but I mentioned something in it of like one day. 5 years from now, my daughter's going to be in junior high school, and she's going to see her dad, like, you know, jerking off all these guys. Yeah. And blow, and it's like,
jerking
that's my dad.
Guys.
He's at work. It's yeah. Like, what's he doing? He's blowing and fucking guys and getting butt fucked. He's working. It's like,
my last hour, I made fun of my daughters nonstop.
Yeah.
About how dumb they are, and I'm still doing it. My new stuff's all about how fucking stupid they are.
Yeah.
But I showed it to Georgia. I showed her the bit about Isla put her finger in the ass, put it in the dog's mouth.
Yeah.
And Georgia's howling, laughing, and she's like, oh my God, Dad, are you going to let Isla see this? And I was like, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But that's great, though. It also provides, because I think you come from a place of love. I mean, yeah. I think there's some comics that come from a place where they are jaded and they're a little disturbed. But I just knowing you and I think that's going to provide a great time capsule for your daughters 20, 30 years from now, she'll be able to show her kids that and go, Grandpa was fucking awesome. Check this shit out.
Do you know what I did for Isla today? She was homesick. Mm-hmm. And I started reading Mitch Hedberg jokes to her.
Oh, dude.
And she was howling fucking laughing. She was like, wait, he does what you do?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, a little better, but yeah. I was like, kinda.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. I'm really excited to see it.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you so much for having us, by the way, too. I really appreciate it. It's great to finally get down here.
Yeah, anytime. I mean, you know, if you guys ever want to do this anytime, just call me. These are always good for me because it's a effortless.
But I think the next time we do it, we should. I'll Uber here.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a hockey game, I would do it. But I think me, you, and maybe we get Gareth down here.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we just have like.
Yeah.
We just go for it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in for that. Sure.
Yeah,
no, I meant Gareth will sit there. Oh. Me, Bert, and Gareth. Right.
Can my dog come though?
Fuck, you'll be gardening.
Jesus. Can I bring my dog? He texted me. He goes, "Do you have a backyard?" And in my head, I was like, "Who doesn't have a fucking backyard?"
Me?
Yeah. I didn't realize that as he said that. I said to my wife, "I go." He asked if I have a fucking backyard. What is he?
Yeah.
She was like, "He probably is bringing a dog." And I went, "Oh."
Did she know that immediately?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and so then I said, yeah, I have a backyard and a front yard.
You're like, that's a weird question.
Yeah, and then he was like, my dog has separation anxiety.
Yeah.
So I told Leanne, I go, we should introduce the two dogs on a play in the backyard. And Leanne goes, you're going to introduce Priscilla to a dog with separation anxiety? She's like, horrible fucking idea.
Oh, that's funny.
And so I was like, oh, good call.
She's by the way, I just want to mention a really quick story about you. Like one of the first times you and I ever worked together years ago at the Tampa Improv, I was checking in somewhere or I ran into somebody and I said I was working at the Improv. They asked me with who and I said you. And the mother said, my daughter is a big fan of his and all of his work on the Travel Channel. The girl was like a 13-year-old girl. And I remember texting you and you said, hey, bring them over to the hotel. I'll say hi to them. And you were staying like right up the street. Yeah. And I remember you went over there or they came over to see you and you must have spent a half an hour with them.
Oh, dude, like, that's nice.
I remember
really?
I remember that clear as day.
That's back when that shit mattered to me. See if they could get me now.
I got fired from Travel Channel fuckers 3 times.
Five times total.
Yeah, 5.
But I remember the girl was like, why is he staying at a Red Roof Inn?
Gary.
Chucking a bird.
Shut the fuck up.
Why is he staying at a Red Roof Inn? Like some girl this week gave me a hug and she goes, woo. You smell like I thought you'd smell like. And I'm like, interesting.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, all right. So the special is this Friday at 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
on Showtime. It's called Tell the Joke.
Tell the damn joke. Yeah.
Tell the damn joke. His name is Steve Byrne. He's one of my favorite human beings in the world. And his co-host is some guy named Gary.
An acquaintance of Steve's.
An acquaintance, yeah.
Who did Last Call with Carson Daly back in 2008.
Yeah. That was your last credit?
That's my credit.
Jesus Christ.
No, I actually did Live at Gotham twice, and I did the exact same set 4 years apart.
4 years apart.
4 years apart. Live at Gotham. Because I didn't have any new stuff. And I didn't want to ask them if I could do the same stuff, because I knew that they would say no.
What was the one time we worked together, and some guy came out, and he was like, you're the Coles guy.
Yeah. Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. And you were like, I'm the Coles guy.
Ralphie used to burn my ass about that. The guy would come up to me and be like, hey, you called me Coles back in 2003.
Yeah.
Ralphie's like, would you write a fucking joke, Cannon?
You're the Coles guy.
You're the Coles guy. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bert.
Good luck in your game tonight.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. All right, guys. That was the podcast. I am here with my wife. No, I guess the podcast is still going. We're talking Black Sails.
Black Sails.
Can you do it?
Yes.
What do you want to say?
I'm upset.
Why?
Because I did not like that finale.
Talk a little louder, maybe.
I did not like that finale. I was very disappointed. We haven't podcasted about Black Sails for over a month, since before we went to London. So there are many, many, many things have happened and many episodes since we last talked about it on the podcast.
And it's gotten good.
A lot of it was really great. And then the series finale happened, and
you were not happy. You were pissed.
Not happy. I was fucking lame.
It was great. It was great because the build up was you got to know the complicated relationship between John Silver and Captain
Flint,
and you found out that it was just a chess match of watching the two, and then Flint stole the treasure, and then. It was just going on and on and on. And then, everyone, by the way, everyone sent me posts like, Bert, you know this is all about gay pirates, right? And I was like, yeah, I know that. I've been watching the show for a while.
Well, the problem that I had was, if this is a prequel to Treasure Island, right? When they show up again in Treasure Island, they're all in kind of bad shape. So I kind of wanted them left in bad shape. And the only thing we didn't know, we in Treasure Island, it's assumed that Captain Flint is dead, right? But I kind of wanted him to be dead.
By the way, Captain Flint's not dead. It's boys' weekend.
Boys' weekend every weekend.
I will tell you, I liked, so Captain Flint, just so you know, big time spoiler alert. I can't imagine that you're still listening to this if you've never watched Black Sails. But if you're just like sitting on a plane going, you know what? Now just tell me it all. Captain Flint was the worst pirate. And the reason he was is because he just wanted to fucking die. He had been in love with a dude.
He isn't the worst pirate. He was the best.
That's what I meant. Like the what you call the worst. Like this is the worst the diarrhea. That means it's like the worst diarrhea you've ever had. So...
That's not how I would have used that phrase, but whatever.
I think you've been drinking and I haven't.
Whatever.
Disagree. So the reason was because he fell in love with a dude. And that was played out until like season 2, season 3.
Season 2.
You figured it out and you were like, whoa, and it kind of changed everything. And then you realized, oh, he'll never rest. He just wants to go and wreak havoc because they killed his boyfriend.
That, and he had nothing to live for. So he had nothing to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose, nothing to live for. That's why he was the greatest pirate that was around.
And he was angry.
Really angry because they took his dude from him.
And then they took his woman from him. And then he got even more angry.
They killed his woman. By the way, that was like fucking how to end a show.
It was crazy.
God, that was like the fucking highlights.
Season 2 was amazing.
How many seasons did they do?
Three
seasons. So
Season 3 was okay.
They started the episode off with like this like, what the fuck? Who's this guy? Why is he there? What's going on? I'm getting chill bumps because I did think this was kind of cool. Turns out that John Silver, instead of killing Flint, realized if he found Flint's boyfriend, he could just send him to prison with his boyfriend and they'd be together and happy.
Well, hold on. Flint thought his boyfriend was killed.
Yeah, but he was wrong.
But he was wrong because I guess back in the day, according to this story, there was a plantation. They sent people like his boyfriend Thomas, who was gay.
Ashamed of their family.
The family was ashamed. Yes, they sent them to this plantation where they just worked, and they never left the plantation.
Yeah.
And so Silver found out that Thomas, his boyfriend, was at this plantation. So he had planned on capturing Flint and then sending him to the plantation so he could be with Thomas.
And this is
which I thought was lame.
No, you didn't.
He
Hang
is
on.
A fucking pirate.
Hold
he
on.
Should have been dead. It yeah. was so lame. I know he ran and like saw Thomas and was like, oh my God. And then they embraced and then they kissed in the middle of a plantation in 17 fucking whatever. I was like, that would never happen. And that is so lame. And I was so mad. And then everybody's storyline got tied up with a bow and presented on a silver tray. And they're fucking pirates. The only person that got the prerequisite to Treasure Island is Billy Bones.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Billy Bones fell off a boat.
He fell off a boat and he went back to Skeleton Island and he was stranded there. And in Treasure Island, he talks about having been stranded there with other pirates and they were eating each other and some of them died there. They didn't show any of that. Like there were no other pirates there besides Billy Bones. But Billy ended up on Skeleton Island, which is exactly where he says he was in Treasure Island.
No
fucking woman that John Silver's in love with in Treasure Island. I don't care that it necessarily matches.
By the way, did she live in this?
What do you mean, does she live?
No, she lived. His girlfriend.
Did you fall asleep?
No.
Did you fall asleep at like 30 minutes in? Yes, he found her.
I know, that's what I just... Why can't you just say yes? Yeah, she found her. He found her in the galley.
Found her.
I think Billy Bones should have killed her.
I think Billy Bones should have killed her too, because that would have made more sense. And I think John Silver should have killed Flint and left him dead on Skeleton Island. And then I would have felt like it was a real, it felt real. It felt so contrived. I was so angry and disappointed and sad. And Jonathan, I'm mad about it.
Jonathan is the creator of Black Sails, who probably isn't listening to this.
I'm sure not.
But if he is.
I was really, really upset and disappointed and a little bit heartbroken because I love that show.
It was such a great show. And it was a great show up until the only thing, Leanne, you got turned off when they started kissing in the field. That's the same reason.
I have no problem with gay men kissing.
Yeah, but it's just if it doesn't fit the story.
It was so against the story. It was against the whole story. It just made me so upset. It was against the time period. That would have never happened like that. I don't care if they've been separated and I thought you were dead. That's not the way. It would never have happened. I don't believe it would have ever happened like that.
Well, that's the reason I had a hard time with Grease Live.
I never saw Grease Live. Grease Grease Live. Yeah,
remember,
yeah,
I kept going like, wait, there's black greasers?
Yeah.
Like, how come no one's saying, like, how progressive is this school that black kids and white kids are making out in the 50s in the hallways and no one's got a fire hose sprayed at them? Like, it's just when a story changes to today's standards.
Well, it asks you to suspend your disbelief to the point where it is not possible to suspend it.
Yeah.
That's when it gets ruined. I could not suspend my disbelief when he saw Thomas and they embraced, like, hand behind the head, romantic kissing with not any awareness that he's on a fucking plantation. He's going to get his ass whipped with a whip in 2 seconds.
The kind of writing I liked is when Charles Vane died.
Incredible.
When Charles Vane died, I was like, fuck.
And when they killed Miranda.
And when they said, let's give him a reason to be afraid of us, I was like, fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was looking for in the ending of this.
Me too.
I was looking for like a big dick swinging moment. It's a fantasy. We're little boys watching pirates.
Yeah, I wanted a to be continued. I wanted to be left with, wait a minute, what happened? Or I know where they end up in Treasure Island. How do they get from here to there?
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way. I felt like tidy and clean and not at all pirate-like. I was very disappointed.
I know you were. And I wasn't as disappointed, but I was bummed that it was like the ending of Lost. You know, here's the other thing, though. What do you expect?
Same reaction at the end of Lost. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Really let down.
That was our show.
Yeah.
And freaking, we're like, huh?
What?
Ah, they're in purgatory?
That's stupid. I don't even like the show now. It really bummed.
Lost was such a great fucking show.
Yes, it was.
And it, you know, it didn't match up. Like, I mean, it doesn't hold up to My 600 Pound Life, which is now Isla's favorite show.
Shut up. Or Main Cabin or whatever.
Main Cabin Builders.
Off the Grid Builders. That's what it is.
Off the Grid Builders and My 600 Pound Life. What a fucking meathead.
So what's our next show going to be? It's going to be Game of Thrones. Does it come out until like July now?
I don't know. That's a great point, guys. If you're still listening, then you are the one percenters. So let's decide a show together that we can all watch, and Leanne and I will do our bi-weekly.
Well, no, I got to be interested in it. I can't watch some shit show that every single week I go, that was a waste of my time. So I don't know if I want like a general consensus in choosing my entertainment time because it's limited at best.
Okay.
So.
Well, we're not going to do Feud.
No, we're not doing
That's
Feud
one of our shows.
Or Big Little Lies or anything. Chick Little, stuff.
Yeah, no chick stuff because we're going to lose.
I know. I don't know. Cotty told me like the best show ever she's ever seen is Friday Night Lights. Ever
really?
In her whole life was Friday Night Lights.
Really?
Yep. I've never seen it, but she has told me 4 years now that we should watch that show.
My earrings are really infected.
We could do Bloodline. We could do... You haven't watched any more Bloodline, have you?
I haven't.
What's another good one that... Yeah, I'm not into that Kevin Spacey show, House of Cards. I tried that. I can't get into that.
I had someone was like... Are you interested in Dancing with the Stars? And I was like, not in the slightest.
That's what I mean. If someone says, hey, let's talk about Dancing with the Stars, I might stab myself in the neck. I can't do that.
All right. Well, we'll figure out the show. I'll take some insights. Just put it up, say, like, have you guys seen this? It's really great. And then if we haven't seen it, we'll check it out. By the way, this off-the-grid builders.
You guys stop watching TV while you're on the podcast. You're really distracted.
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Are we finished talking about Black Sails?
Are you finished?
Yeah, I've said my piece.
I think you are.
I'm sad.
That's okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Watch Steve Burns' podcast, or watch Steve Burns' Hour Special. And I love you with all my heart, Leanne.
I love you too, baby doll.
Oh, don't do that. I got to sound tough.
Suck a dick,
baby doll.
Love that.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.